Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. We're on episode 18. Today's Monday, August 20th of 2018. Got some interesting news in both cyber and cryptocurrency related stuff. So we're going to get to that. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. So for any kind of t-shirt that you want, if you want some custom shirts that you have a logo for, or you have a team, they need jerseys with numbers put on them, whatever it is, tank tops, you name it, polo shirts, Southern Graphics has all that kind of stuff. They also have some pre-made, really funny shirts. So anyway, check them out at their website. It's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. So go check them out. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eenglish34. Again, it's at eenglish34 on Twitter. All right. So to start things off, Coinbase, I'll start with cryptocurrency news. Coinbase officially released the support for Ethereum Classic on their consumer platform. So trading for that began, I believe it was on Friday last week. So finally you're able to trade Ethereum Classic on Coinbase. With the current market trends as they are, Ethereum Classic is still kind of floating around $13 or $14. It's actually down from before they even announced they were going to support it. But there was a 15% spike right before their release on their platform. I believe that was on Friday. Then as soon as it was released on the platform, it went right back down to where it was. So that's typical for when Coinbase decides to list a new currency, the value of it shoots up, and then everybody sells it once they support it. So it's official, and Coinbase still says that they're going to support a few additional cryptocurrencies in the future, so we'll see what else they decide to put on their platform. I'm hoping they put Ripple on there, but that's just me. So pretty exciting news for Coinbase users. So update your Coinbase app if you've got it on your phone, and check out some Ethereum Classic if you want to. You know, for me, Ethereum Classic is not really anything to be all that excited about. You know, I'm personally not that excited about Ethereum Classic. You know, it's just another spin-off of Ethereum. I believe it was the older version of Ethereum, essentially. So, you know, they're listing it on their platform now, whoop-de-doo. You can mine for Ethereum Classic as well, and you could mine right to your Coinbase account if you wanted to, if you're doing any mining. So it's just as difficult to mine Ethereum Classic as it is Ethereum right now, so you're not really gaining much by mining for Ethereum Classic versus Ethereum. Ethereum is looking at doing some major code updates. I'm not sure when those are going to happen, but they started their planning stages already. There was a little bit of news about what all they were hoping to do, and you know, most of it centered around efficiency and speeding up transactions. So we'll see what happens there when that news officially gets released. I'll talk about it on here and give you guys the lowdown on what's happening there. But they are planning to do some upgrades to Ethereum. They really have to keep up. You know, the blockchain has evolved quite a bit, so they just have to keep up with the evolution. Some other news in cryptocurrency. If you are doing any kind of mining or even gaming, NVIDIA released their new line of video cards today. They start with the 2070, the 2080, and a couple others, the 2080 Ti, so on and so forth. They replaced all the 10 series essentially. Prices are starting out around, I believe it's $500 for the 2070 and $700 for the 2080. So still pretty expensive, and then their higher end one is over $1,000. So what does that mean for mining? I don't know. I haven't seen any benchmarks on these yet. They just released the pricing and whatnot today, so I'm not even sure that they're officially on any shelves yet either. So we'll see what the hash rate is on these new cards, and if it's double the hash rate that what you used to be able to get, then it's totally worth doing an upgrade. But the 1080s usually we get about 26 mega hashes right out of the box. Obviously you can tune it a little bit to get 30-ish, but that's not really all that high. And so if it only goes up to 35, let's say, with the new 2080 cards, it's probably not worth it. It's probably cheaper and better and whatnot to go with a 1080. Go find some clearance or closeout 1080s and add them to your mining rigs, instead of getting the new 2080 that's going to cost you a bunch more money. So I have not seen the prices on the 1080s drop yet, although I'm sure it will once various stores start clearancing them out. But they have to wait for the new 2080s to arrive first. So you may see a drop in those 1080 prices, so that might be a good time to buy some of those. I don't know what they're going to drop it to. I'm hoping, $300 would be awesome. But you never know, and it'll probably vary from store to store. But check out that news on Nvidia if you're a miner or a big heavy gamer. Check that stuff out. Let's see. Other crypto news. Nothing really going on. The SEC is talking about some more regulations. And supposedly they're going to come down with some decisions this week. Now, I'm a little worried about these regulations and what it's going to do for the current market. The market took a huge dip several weeks back, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't do the same. As of right now, Bitcoin's trading at $6,300. Ethereum is at 272, so pretty low in the grand scheme of things. Bitcoin Cash is at 520 as of right now, 530 on a Monday. So it's not looking good. It hasn't really come up much, although we were into the 5,000 range with Bitcoin, so it did at least go up from that, but it hasn't gone up, all that much. But at least we're up into the 6,000s again. It's been floating between 6,500 and 6,300. So at least we are making a little bit of progress there. So that's good. That's really it for cryptocurrency today. Did have some cybersecurity stuff that was kind of cool. I guess not cool if you had your power shut off by an IoT botnet. So apparently, there was a botnet created from heaters and ovens. Smart ovens and smart heaters were hacked, and they created a botnet using smart heaters and smart ovens. And what they did was they actually caused widespread power outages. I thought that was really crazy. And that's even more scary than anything else, because that's critical infrastructure that they're attacking with this. And if you can make somebody's electricity go out, that's that's really, really scary stuff. So I think we're going to start seeing more of this, especially with countries that we don't get along with, or if we eventually go to war with somebody, you're going to see a lot of these types of attacks on, you know, critical infrastructure like electricity, water, telephone, internet, all that kind of stuff. You're going to see massive attacks on those critical services. So it's pretty scary that you can do this with heaters and ovens. Imagine what they can do if they really, really wanted to take down the United States. So very scary stuff. IoT is great, but it's just extremely vulnerable to these types of attacks, the botnets and whatnot, the takeovers of these devices. It's really, really scary. And while, you know, telling your Alexa device to turn on, you know, a light bulb or whatever, that's great, especially if you have your hands full. The problem is if, you know, your light bulb is causing millions of other people to get hacked, that's where the problem is. Or if you're causing people's electricity to go out, that's an even bigger problem. So hopefully this is just a one-off scenario, but in my eyes, I could see this happening a lot more frequently, especially, like I said, if we go to war with some other country, cyber warfare starts kicking in. North Korea could be doing some of this stuff, Russia, you name it. So these are very sophisticated attacks, very coordinated attacks, and these are some smart people hacking into these devices and creating botnets with them. So how do you mitigate this kind of stuff? Well, it's going to be very tough because a lot of the devices they take over are in the United States. And so that creates some issues. If you're going to try to mitigate this by doing, let's say, geo-IP blocking, or you block other countries, that really wouldn't help in this scenario. Now, to protect your IoT devices to begin with, which is where we probably should start, although most of the time we don't, we really should protect these devices before you put them on the internet and make them available on the web. So, you know, if you have any kind of a decent firewall at your office, you can do some geo-IP blocking. Unfortunately, consumer-grade electronics and routers and whatnot typically don't have the capability to do geo-IP blocking, at least as of right now. So hopefully with, you know, some of this news that's coming out, we can better protect our homes and our smart devices by blocking all these foreign countries that we have no need to have any sort of electronic communications with. So hopefully that'll start here pretty soon. We will see. But if you do have a basic router at home, let's say you've got a Linksys or a D-Link or something, you can actually flash some custom firmware on there, which I love doing. It's DDWRT is the custom firmware. If you want to check it out, DDWRT.com. I think it's actually DDWRT, what is it, DD-WRT.com. Or just Google DDWRT and it'll pull it up. So you can flash this custom firmware onto your router, and that gives you a whole ton of other features, and GeoIP blocking would be included in that. So and it's a heck of an upgrade for your router as well, your wireless router. So they support all kinds of different things that most routers don't support out of the box. It gives you VPN capabilities. It gives you the ability to use your router as just an access point or a repeater or a bridge, any kind of stuff like that. So you can even create VLANs on there, which oftentimes you can't do with the standard routers right out of the box. So check out DDWRT. And protect those smart home devices, folks. And protect your network better, too. And get some additional functionality on your $30 wireless router. DDWRT supports a ton of routers, so go check them out, see if they've got firmware for your device, and then flash it and enjoy the new features that you've got there. I don't recommend it though if you're not very comfortable with networking or anything like that. I don't recommend doing that, but if you have even a little bit of experience with networking and updating firmware, then highly recommend checking out DDWRT for your wireless router at home. So go check them out. They're pretty awesome. Support all kinds of different routers. So, you know, back to the whole IoT thing and securing those. This is going to be huge because we're seeing now a lot of new, like, apartment communities and all, you know, new businesses and, you know, all this kind of stuff are putting smart technologies, IoT devices in, you know, from the get-go. And so that's great for convenience, but it's also great for these hackers that want to create a huge botnet and take down something. You know, especially if you can imagine how many apartments go up in the United States. And if we start including smart lights and smart, you know, switches and smart this and smart that, it's going to be really scary if these all get compromised. So we really need to rethink our strategy around IoT and rethink how we're protecting it. And hopefully the manufacturers that are creating these devices are starting to think about security more. In the past, it's just kind of been, hey, this is cool, check it out, I can turn on my light with my voice. Not really thinking about the security implications there, but hopefully with all the IoT takeovers and botnets that have been happening, the manufacturers will actually get on board with securing the code, making it a lot harder to hack into these devices. So if you have any smart devices, keep them updated, update the firmware on those devices, because there are tons of vulnerabilities to get released with these. Samsung Smart Hub had a whole bunch of vulnerabilities a couple of weeks ago. I think they had, 20 or 30 some odd vulnerabilities that they patched recently with a firmware upgrade. So always be checking for those updates and upgrades to the firmware for all your smart home tech. Even if it's your refrigerator or whatever it is, just make sure that you're keeping it updated and keeping the bad guys out as much as you can. And get DDWRT on your router and block them out even more. So that is all we've got for today. I do want to again thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Go check them out. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34. Again, it's at eEnglish34. If you want to follow me on Twitter. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.